This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
What was left out of the three call transcripts released by the FBI today angered many conservatives who believe the move was more political than anything else. Within hours of the outrage, the Justice Department backtracked, releasing the full transcripts. Fox News senior political analyst Brett Hume joins me now with his thoughts on the Justice Department's reversal. Good evening, Brett.
Hi, Shannon. The Attorney General claims that her department initially planned to censor all mentions of ISIS and its leaders from the transcript of Omar Mateen's phone calls was to avoid spreading his propaganda. That may be true, but it is also true that it dovetailed perfectly with the Obama approach to ISIS and Islamic terrorism going back years. That approach has been to deny or minimize the threat at every turn and to pretend to the extent possible that it has had nothing to do with Islam. Not only has Mr. Obama refused to use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, he even went so far in a nationwide address 2 years ago to say ISIS is not Islamic at all. And he famously once compared the terrorist organization, as nearly everybody remembers, to a JV team. If you look hard enough, it is possible to discern a strategy of sorts in all this. It is to avoid insulting and alienating Muslims in general, and to avoid giving terrorists more glory and attention than they deserve. Thus, the president claimed ISIS had been contained, and the next day it pulled off the Paris massacre. He claimed after Orlando that ISIS was losing ground and under more pressure than ever. 2 days later, his CIA director testified that the ISIS threat is undiminished. Thus, the president's approach is overtaken again and again by events, which is another way of saying what seems unmistakably true. It simply doesn't work. Shannon?
Okay, so Britt, this morning we had the redacted transcripts. By afternoon, we had what we believe are the full transcripts now, at least of the calls that we have. Why the quick pivot, and do you think the administration didn't see this coming?
Apparently someone in the Justice Department, including obviously the Attorney General, since she's the one who first announced this decision on Sunday television, thought that this was in keeping, I think she must have believed, with the administration's approach. Unfortunately, in this case, the toothpaste was already out of the tube, and it was really impossible to put it back, even in a transcript in which anybody who paid any attention to all of this could read through the transcript, see what was left out, and figure out what the words would have been. So the thing began to border on the ridiculous, and I think that's why they backtracked, although I think the impulse that gave rise to the original idea of censoring it is pretty clear.
Well, this is the beauty of our country, Scott, that we have a First Amendment right, and to be able to have access, you know, when it comes to this whole, you know, this whole threat of radical Islam, this administration continues to just, you know, really confuse the issue all the more by trying to, really become a propaganda arm of radical Islam. But, you know, I am not surprised when you consider who the president has surrounded himself with, the Muslim interests that exist within the inner chambers of this administration. I mean, all you got to do is look it up and see what's happening. I mean, is it any wonder their worldview is compromised? They've got to be having some interesting conversations. If you could be a fly in a wall there in this administration and hear what they must be talking about, I think that most Americans would be shocked in how we're being force-fed this. But, you know, all we know is that it's not the truth, and this is what's bothersome. You know, and, you know, go back to that that comparison of when your child lies to you. You know it's not true. It just won't go away. It just keeps gnawing at you. And that's what's happening with this administration. They continue to misrepresent and deceive us, and somehow they're aghast when they lose credibility. Well, they've lost that long ago when you have people like Susan Rice going on talk shows saying, it was all about a video and not about radical Islam in Benghazi, for example. Well, the lies continue, and we'll continue to expose them here on Bill Martinez Live.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-941-9796.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-941-9796. That's 1-800-941-9796.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. David Rucker is with us right now, senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. David, always good to be talking to you. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, doing wonderful. So what's Donald Trump's fundraising? You wrote an article about Trump's fundraising, a mystery. You know, we've got Hillary Clinton that has outraised him, what, 100 to 1, 500 to 1? You know, what is it?
Well, yeah, look, it's less of a mystery today than it was yesterday. I mean, what I was trying to figure out in my story was, you know, how was his fundraising going in May and so far in June? And, of course, he clinched the Republican nomination May 3rd, so he had almost a full month to ramp up and get moving. Today it's a little bit less of a mystery. We know that in May it was awful. He raised a couple million dollars. He loaned his campaign a couple million dollars. He finished the month of May with $1.2 million in the bank, and that's not a typo.
Wow.
So Hillary Clinton finished the month of May with $42 million in the bank. I think she raised $26 million. Her super PAC, her allied super PAC, basically the full Democratic machine, brings another $50 million in the bank as of the end of May, and the full Republican machine, you've got the RNC with $20 million and super PACs so far with not that much money, at least reported. Mm-hmm. So he's in a deep hole when it comes to money. He loaned his campaign money in the primary as opposed to donating. Mm-hmm. He said he is going to pay that money back. He has not yet. He could have. But on the fundraising report for May, those are still loans. He clearly chose not to donate or loan his campaign more money in May. So I think the question is, how is May going? I'm sure it's going a lot better than May. I mean, how is June going?
June,
I'm sure,
right.
It's going a lot better than May. Mm-hmm. I think his July report will look a lot better. But, you know, the potential problem here is lost time.
Exactly.
So Clinton is raising a ton of money, fielding a staff out in the battleground states and beyond, and doing all the data analytics and everything that costs a lot of money. Trump's really been doing not much of anything. And, of course, he's been distracted by a lot of self-enforced errors, whether it's the attack on the federal judge or, you know, a sort of here-and-there response to the Orlando terrorist attack. So it's been a little rough going. He's going to try and turn it around. He fired his campaign manager. He's giving a major speech. The email just showed up in my inbox. It just says a major speech on the election, which mm-hmm. he'll be giving from New York, which in and itself is curious. But we'll see what he has to say.
Well, was Lewandowski partly responsible to this low funding issue, or was it just Donald Trump's ego again saying that he was going to be self-funded?
I think it's Donald Trump. Well, first of all, let's just dial back for a second.
Okay.
Trump has always made clear that he's the one running his campaign. He has made a point of telling people that he is the one making the decisions and running his campaign, that he is the chief strategist and the chief decision maker. And look, he was very successful in the Republican primary, so it's definitely something to brag about. But I think that what works sometimes, you know, look, sometimes you're a great college quarterback, then you get to the pros, everybody is faster, more talented, they watch film on you, and all of a sudden you're not so good anymore. Exactly. And I think that the campaign didn't adjust, it didn't change, and I think it is Trump that has been running the campaign, mm-hmm. which is why firing Lewinsky is a sort of bold move, and it's a big move, but I don't think it solves the problem. I think the only thing that can solve the problem is Trump choosing to run his campaign differently. I think that Trump has never believed in spending a lot of money on consultants and pollsters and data. I think that because of the unique year, the unique political atmosphere that we're in and the divided field in the Republican primary, his view of the world worked out, and it was true, and look, you know, how successful he was. I think it was wrong for him to assume it would work in the general, but I think he has assumed that, at least up until now. So I think the question is he going to change his approach? So far, he's saying he's not going to. That doesn't mean he won't, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, it seems to me that with Paul Manafort now at the alleged helm, is that maybe Trump might be willing to let go of that a little bit. Of course, he's got his kids involved. There was some rumor that Ivanka and Lewandowski had some conflict here. I got to imagine in one regard, though, Lewandowski's been very respectful and grateful for the association with Donald Trump. Part of him probably had his best night's sleep last night, realizing that he didn't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to a tweet from Donald and, you know, asking for something, or one of the kids, you know, bugging him about something else. I mean, this had to be like herding 500 cats going in 50 different directions.
Yeah, it's, you know, my colleague at the New York Times, Jonathan Martin, tweeted this morning that even if this wasn't about Trump and it was about just some, you know, run-of-the-mill politician, it would be sort of like a Game of Thrones weird fantasy of a campaign. I mean, look, there aren't that many people on staff. I mean, he's only got 70 people on staff.
Right.
And it's just, there's a lot of palace intrigue between his sons and his daughter and his son-in-law. And then you had people loyal to Lewandowski, and there are people loyal to Manafort. And it's just not a well-run organization. I mean, I don't know if this is how, it strikes me that this is probably not how Trump ran his business. But the thing is, campaigns aren't businesses. They are different. But they're like businesses, but they're not the same. Mm-hmm. And this thing is not being run properly because it's not as though – look, sometimes you run a great campaign and the voters just aren't buying. I think that was the case, for instance, for Ted Cruz. I mean, here was a very well-oiled machine. At the end of the day, he couldn't get the votes.
Right.
Right now, in a general election against Hillary Clinton, Trump's lack of a well-oiled machine is – endangering his ability to get the votes. And I think the only thing really keeping him in this, to be, you know, quite honest, is how flawed of a candidate Hillary Clinton is. But the one thing that we don't know that only will show up later, if it does show up, is she's putting in place an organization that is going to be done right and is going to be everywhere. She's on the air with more than $20 million in ads. Her allies are on the air with tens of millions of dollars in ads. And these things can sink in over time. And I remember 4 years ago when Republicans watched all of the money that the Obama machine was spending on it, and they said, oh, it's the summer. Oh, it's early. Nobody's paying attention. Ads sunk in, and it made it impossible for Romney to get it done. And even if you lose by a point, you still lost. And if you lose by 5 points in a presidential election, it doesn't sound like a rout, and it's not a rout, but it's a huge loss.
Well, David, it's ludicrous on their part. I mean, how Romney, I mean, Romney's a business guy. He should know about this, and so should Trump. In the art of branding, it's about he who comes there first wins. This is why Coca-Cola will never be overrun by Pepsi. That is marketing 1A. It's simple. And for them to ignore that fact, this is what has concerned me as a businessman, as a marketing guy. I see these violations of marketing principles time and again. I mean, you and I talked early on about this. We thought that this was going to be probably a $4 billion election, you know, campaign that's going on, and we're not even going to get close. And Hillary doesn't even have to worry about raising $2 billion because look what she's got right now, and she's outspending Trump 500-1 maybe.
Yeah, it's a problem. And, you know, there's a difference between branding and between operations.
Yes.
They're getting the operations all wrong, but they're also damaging the brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and operations reinforces that message. It reinforces the brand. And, you know, people want to vote for, I sense they want to vote for him. He keeps giving them reasons not to. It is quite interesting, but we'll continue keeping an eye on it. David Drucker, thank you so much for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuzenup because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuzenup Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Easy to work. Up antenna, switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad, como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, Cape and all, why not, Tay, just for you. I get, only for you will I do this sort of thing. Let me tell you, 19... after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and Dr. Gerard Lomero is with us. He's the author, philosopher, economist, and engineer, author of America's Economic War and Choosing the Good Life. You know, I'm for choosing the good life, Gerard, and I appreciate the encouragement on this because, you know, it does come down to a choice, huh? We are what we are as the result of the accumulation of choices we've made, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct, and this election has been fascinating, and I wrote about it with that new book that came out in January, Great News for America, and those predictions are all coming true. I hope that continues to happen.
Kind of amazing, huh, when you think back and as you're writing this and you see the headlines and now you see the development and the trajectory that we're on. So some of this is pretty reasonable. Now we look at what happened in Orlando, and so the question is, what kind of impact could that have on the 2016 election?
Well, actually, it looks to me like it's going to have a very major impact. It may surprise you because it seems like one event, but on the other hand, some events are big. They're like tipping points. And let me tell you something. About 22 years ago, believe it or not, I wrote something called 10 Laws for Winning Presidential Elections. And they, you know, represented my studying, lifetime study of presidential elections. And those 10 laws always seem to work no matter what, and they're working now. And one of those 10 laws is law number 7, which is the law of the dominant issue. Almost every presidential election will turn on one major issue. Now, they talk about lots and lots of issues. They debate lots and lots of issues. But usually there is one big issue. And in this particular election, it started out in 2015, about March 2015, as being the economy. And it was the economy up until around December when we had the Paris attacks. And when we had the Paris attacks, things switched. The voters said, wow, we're in this global terrorism thing. If it happened in Paris, all those people were killed, it can happen in America. And immediately after that, we had San Bernardino and that tragedy. And those two things combined, it switched the momentum of the race. At that time, Ben Carson was number one in Iowa, but he didn't have a great answer. People didn't really like his answer. They didn't think he sounded tough enough to be commander-in-chief. He dropped in Iowa and hasn't recovered.
Good point.
Right now, we have switched from the economy, and right now we're back on terrorism, but it looks like this is a major shift in the electorate, and this could be the determining or the dominant issue of this election.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, Gerard, because I was saying the other day, not that I'm claiming any big credit, but this is insightful of you, and we need to post those 10 rules of winning an election on our site. So I need to get my hands on that because I think this is brilliant insight. Go ahead.
I was going to say they are on my website, and if you just link to my website,
yes, we'll do.
You click on the button that says laws, and it'll take you to that page. And then if you link to that, it'll be on your website too.
Well, that's great. No, we're going to make that happen because I think, you know, this is important to see. And as I started to say that I think the opportunity for Trump is to really put the onus on one Hillary Clinton for what she failed to do in Benghazi and the misinformation that she's been putting out there. I can't believe that not once but two times now she said that nobody died in Benghazi. And I'm going, well, how can you make that statement?
Yeah,
you know, you were next to four caskets. How can you say nobody died in Benghazi? What are you thinking?
It makes no sense whatsoever. It's delusional almost.
Yeah. But that is the opportunity for Donald Trump, is to make her own her lack of competence when we're under attack. She claimed that Barack Obama would not be there for the 3 a.m. phone call. Well, guess what? She was right, 50%. The other 50% was she wasn't there either.
That's absolutely correct. And the American people are smart. They have enormous common sense. I have tremendous faith in the American people because they always show common sense. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen in our history are there certain critical and historic presidential elections. This is one of them. This is what I predicted in the book, Great News for America, and it's what's happening. And the American people are telling us right now that terrorism is a big deal. They are afraid. They don't want to go to their mall. They don't want to go to their movie theater and get shot. by somebody who's a fanatic who believes in Sharia law or who thinks we're all terrible people. And I'll tell you, it's very interesting, too. After Orlando, I thought it was insightful that Donald Trump said to the gay community, take another look at me. You know, normally the gays and lesbians, they tend to vote Democratic. He said, I'm after protecting you.
Right, exactly.
The Democrats that you've been supporting, they're not protecting you. They're helping these kind of people to come in. They're welcoming them. They're giving them free benefits and that. And these are people who kill gay and lesbians in their own countries, and they hate them.
Well, the Democrats are the ones that gave our culture the safe gun zones. And they want them all over the place. They want everybody to turn their guns in against the empirical evidence that shows time and again where people are able to defend themselves. You know, you don't have this crime. And I believe it's Switzerland. Dr. John Lott pointed out that everybody has the right to carry a gun, open carry. They encourage the men to go through training, men and women, to go through training and to carry a gun to defend themselves. Because after all, when it comes to the first line of defense, it's you. It's not the police, it's you, and look at the comparative crime rate between America and Switzerland. Quite a bit lower in Switzerland, and they attribute the ability for them to carry concealed or open as a result of the success that they've had against crime.
And look at Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they've outlawed them, and people are getting shot left and right. And it's terribly unfortunate, but the fact of the matter is criminals are afraid of people, of good people that have arms.
Exactly.
And they don't know if they're going to be met with resistance, and they may wind up dying, and that's a big deterrent, and that's reality. And the progressive socialists that are running this country now have really hurt our country, and a lot of these deaths could have been prevented with the right laws and also not allowing in all sorts of people, because it's not just this one person who was born in the U.S., maybe to parents that were anti-American, but we're talking about people slipping across the border all the time. We had a case last week, somebody caught with plans for a, natural gas plant. It
right.
looked like he had plans to blow up a plant. I mean, we don't need those kind of people slipping in under the border.
Exactly. Well, you know, there is inherent evil in our culture right now. We've given way to it. We've had a lot of contention. I mean, to the point that even yesterday there was an attempted assassination on Donald Trump, where this 19-year-old from he's from Britain, right? I believe, and he tried to get a hold of one of the guards' guns, and he said he fully intended to shoot Donald Trump.
Ridiculous. Yeah, we can't let people like that loose.
Yeah, but the thing is that people say, well, they're not, you know, these were homegrown people. They weren't, you know, in this particular case with this young man, he came from Britain. He was here he's been here in this country on a visa for a year and a half. I'm not sure the exact details of it. Certainly, you know, what happened in Orlando, you've got a second generation, Middle Easterner who comes here, and he doesn't assimilate. He's anti-American, and there's a lot of loose language going out that is very anti-American. And, you know, we're like, we're almost like shooting ourselves here, Gerard.
Right. It's a privilege to come to the U.S., and they should assimilate into this culture. If they don't like this culture and they like the Middle East, let them stay there.
Exactly. God bless you. I mean, you know, stay in your own home country. That works out well for you. Remind everybody, Gerard, of your new book, please.
The new book is Great News for America, all about this election. It came out in January with 10 predictions, and they're all coming true.
Here it is, and it's available at all the usual places and through your website, right?
Exactly. GreatNewsForAmerica.com. They can also get the 10 laws for winning presidential elections. That's for free. That's available.
Design experts Aaron and Ben Napier. Summer is here, so if you want to get out of town and you're up for a road trip or want to try something new, just pick a spot on the map. Don't forget to pack snacks in bulk, fuel up the car, and get ready to hit the road for a big trip on a smart budget with these tips.
Living in the South, we're lucky to live near beautiful backcountry roads. For summer weekend getaways, we like to stop by the nearest grocery store to load up on snacks, hop in the car, and explore the open road with our favorite music on the radio.
To make our summer road trip budget go further, we fill up at gas stations far away from freeways for better prices. Our best road trip tool is our Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card that allows us to earn 3% cash back on gas and 2% cash back at grocery stores and wholesale clubs on the first $2,500 in combined purchases. Plus, we earn 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamins you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel and the friendly rabbit. I'm going to use you two guys to do my dirty work for me.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
Oh, we always need somebody to do some dirty work, huh? Once in a while, you know, hey, why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back. Bill Martinez here with you. You know, religious freedom is under assault today, as if you didn't know, as never before. A country founded on freedom of speech and religious belief is being changed from within by activists hostile to both. Now, is this what we want America to be? That's the big question. And it's brought forth and asked very loud and clear in Mary Eberstadt's new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Religious freedom is a fundamental right enshrined, as we said, in the First Amendment. In this book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Mary Eberstadt documents how those who adhere to traditional religious beliefs, especially Christians, face widespread decriminalization in today's, discrimination, in today's increasingly secular society. Mary Eberstadt is with us. Mary, thank you so much for coming on, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is a discussion that we've been having, and quite ironic that you have these two bookends. You have Christianity under persecution and an allowance of the Muslim religion. How do we connect these two?
Well, there's been a serious decline across the Western world in the defense of religious freedom. And I think it really started 10 years ago or so when the New Atheists had all these bestsellers and they set a new low standard for how it was possible to mock religious believers as you wouldn't mock other people in the public square. Mm-hmm. So we had their rhetoric. And then came two terms of a progressive American administration. This president has repeatedly made clear that he puts traditional Christians at the bottom of the list. He said at a prayer breakfast once that they were less than loving. He made that infamous comment about people clinging to their guns and their religion. So I think this further made the atmosphere toxic for religious believers who lean toward traditionalism. Mm-hmm. There's been a real pile-on, and these days, I mean, we've seen a succession of stories. We've seen a fire chief fired in Atlanta for writing a book about Christianity. We've seen a coach suspended for saying a prayer on a football field after a game. Mm-hmm. Numerous teachers around the country have been suspended, one for giving a student a Bible. My point is that these are not just isolated examples of discrimination or soft persecution or however you want to put it. They are part of a sea change, not only in the United States, but particularly evident in the United States because our First Amendment guarantees religious liberty.
Right.
So that's what's going on out there. And my point is to bring it to the attention of everybody, not just the believers, but the people who are also responsible for this.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I see a cycling in, you know, into the same scenario as reported in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. And that is that when things are going good for people, they get lax and they let go of their spiritual roots. And there's this recurring theme. They begin to see things according to their own eyes. And in order to do that, it accommodates misbehavior. You know, look what's happening to our country. We've redefined marriage. We can't even, we're so confused, we're not even sure what bathroom to go into anymore. There's 26 designations of gender now in some universities. I mean, what happened to reason and common sense? But this is what happens when we unhinge ourselves from the natural truths and we want to do as we darn well please.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, Bill, and there's also truth to the fact that religious believers have been playing defense for years now. Mm-hmm. People feel like they're in a defensive crouch. They feel like the rest of society looks at them and says, you're a bigot or you're a hater. My point is to try and turn the tables on that and say, look, people don't have to stay on defense. It is wrong to call people terrible names like bigot and hater when they're not bigots and they don't hate people. And it's wrong to be attacking Christian charities. There's a whole chapter in the book about ideologically driven legal and other attacks on Christian charities because they don't toe the line on what secularist progressives want to think. And, you know, the poor get lost in the mix on this. So it's fair to try and get off defense and onto some kind of moral offense because things really have gone too far out there.
Well, really, when you consider, you know, the practical evidence of faith and how it's been demonstrated throughout years and years of, you know, within our culture, it stands on its own merit. You know, really, you know, you have these voices that want to shut up religion and keep them quiet and marginalize them. Although I found it quite interesting last year, Mary, that Gallup did a poll, and this is kind of a loose interpretation of it here, but basically what it surmised is that the secular market is saying, where is the church today? We have disconnected from a moral compass, and we're not hearing the voice of the church. And to your point, if they've been telling the church to shut up and get out of it, now they're saying, hey, we need you back in here because our families are in chaos, our country is in chaos, our lives are in chaos, and we know that what secular progressives, they may not put it specifically in those terms, but they know that by experience what's been handed out to them is not working.
Well, and they're facing irrefutable evidence that, for example, religious believers are more charitable than other people. I'm not saying that to pat the Christians on the back, but it's been established by social science. I mean,
right, exactly.
Arthur Brooks wrote two books about this. And also, when you look at much more secular societies like those in Europe, there is much less charitable giving of a voluntary nature. So we know that believers are good that way. And we know that they're good at shoring up institutions and, you know, not just writing checks, but also donating their time. They even donate more blood than secular people. The point is not to knock the secular people. It's to say that you're right. This is so self-evident that even people outside religious circles ought to be acknowledging it. And I think we can get some support from outside those circles. I don't think the left is monolithic. I think there are activists within their progressive ranks who do want to destroy anything associated with Christianity. Mm-hmm. But I think there are also reasonable people who are mindful of things like the tradition of Martin Luther King, for example. Would he have been okay with what's happening with religious believers today?
Yes.
Pretty doubtful. So no. I'm trying to reach those reasonable people.
And I think you're right, Mary. I think it's a small percentage. Like, when you consider history, it usually works out to about 10% of radicals that take over 90%. It's always the tail shaking the dog. And some of it's convenient. I mean, you know, do we want to go and, you know, have our way and do whatever it is that we want to do and take God out of the picture? We may do that for a season, but we're not, you know, by God's grace and mercy, we're not totally devoid of any conscience. There are some people, as the Apostle Paul said, who sear their conscience, and there's not much you can do for them. But for the most part, like you say, there are those people that bend the effect of it. I mean, it's kind of like abortion. People thought initially, hey, this is all good. We should do this. You know, it's my body. You know, let's not even think about the father and his involvement. But, you know, it's a woman's right for health care and you know, all that propaganda that's been put out there. But meanwhile, after all these years of Roe v. Wade and almost 60 million aborted babies, women are realizing, there's something not right here. This is not settling with me. I'm still waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm being haunted by the fact that I have a child that should be at my dinner table, and he's not here.
Abortion is a great example of where things have turned around, and it's another reason why we, you know, can't go around expecting that religion will be wiped out of the public square. There's just too much momentum on its side, and that's why we need an accommodation of some kind with this progressive secularism.
Well, it is time, as you say, Mary, people who have the responsibility, have the experience that know we need to get them out of the shadows. They need to come forth with a courageous voice and speak up, because I believe that's what the secular people are looking to hear as well. Mary Eberstadt is with us. We've got more from Mary on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. B-I-F-F-Y-B-A-G.com.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Take us into this next segment as our conversation continues with Mary Eberstadt. Her brand new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Listen to what Michael Novak, author of The Spirit of Democratic Capitalism in 1994, winner of the Templeton Prize, had to say about this book. He says this book is a searing indictment of the hypocrisy and duplicity of many secularists who have abandoned the old rules of mutual respect and fairness, which once invited serious secular and religious thinkers into open dialogue. Instead, they exhibit rank bigotry in the name of tolerance and conduct themselves, especially on sexual matters, more as an evangelical sect than a movement of reason and dialogue. Thanks are due to Mary Eberstadt for raising this crucial but seriously neglected aspect of a free society today. Mary, Michael Novak hit the nail on the head here.
Well, it's humbling to be praised by one of the titanic minds of our time.
Yeah.
But it is a point of the book to call people out. And I'm not doing it personally. For the most part, I leave names out of it. But look, you've got runaway activists on the progressive wing who are keeping enemies lists of people just because they're religious believers. And I'll give you an example, though. Lawyers who handle religious liberty cases, who stand up for the rights of people fired for acting on their beliefs or fired for running afoul of, you know, newly evolving laws. And there are activist groups that track these religious liberty outfits and demonize them and call them bigots and haters. Now, let's consider just that for a moment, because if lawyers for, say, people accused of murder were being demonized in this way, or lawyers for any other group, there would be a hue and cry about it, and rightly so, because it's toxic to constitutionalism itself
exactly.
to have people ostracized like this. Mm-hmm. And yet, when you're talking about people who defend Christians or Christian lawyers who defend Christians, nobody on the left seems to notice this demonization. So I'm trying to hold a mirror up to all of that and say, look at what's being committed in the name of progressivism today.
It's really...
I don't think its forebears would have countenanced that at all. Great progressives like Christopher Lash and others named in the book would not have thought this would get a pass.
Well, you know, and some of these progressives will say, well, that's what the Christians got. We've suffered under, you know, Christianity and their strong arm and how they've, you know, unfairly ruled government and forced agencies. But I'll tell you what is happening today, Mary, in particularly in this existing administration. This is oppression with steroids.
Well, even the Pope has talked about what he calls the polite persecution of believers in the Western world. And the Pope is not alone. Numerous cardinals have drawn attention to this. People like Russell Moore and Albert Mohler have drawn attention to this. It's on the minds of religious leaders everywhere. And it's not because they're being overly emotional about this. It's because there are genuine threats that didn't exist before.
Well, I think the Pope is being politically correct when he says the polite persecution. There's no polite aspect of this when you are going to the point where you're, you know, getting the government involved, you are marginalizing and you are invalidating, you know, people of faith just because they don't agree with you.
Exactly. And that's why, Bill, I think what's needed more than anything is not more lawsuits from here to kingdom come, but I mean, those have a place, don't get me wrong, but a change of heart on the part of people who, you know, get up in the morning and think, how can I close this Christian adoption agency? Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do to interfere with this refugee resettlement effort that the Catholic Church or anybody else is doing? It's a change of heart that's needed to call those people to their senses. And if they can't be called to their senses, at least maybe some of their allies can. I really do believe that there are fair-minded people out there who may even be intimidated as secularists by the vehemence of this, you know, secularist activism. But those people need to look to their ranks and rein people in.
Well, and they understand it. I mean, if you listen to the president, I mean, he himself will be, I mean, he's been one of the voices that come out and said, look, at you, you know, we got to stop talking at one another and talk with one another. I mean, he kind of gets it from that standpoint, but in application, he just can't quite connect the dots. But the fact that he even enunciates that, like you, Mary, it gives me hope, you know, for those people. It's not like everybody has drank the Kool-Aid to the point that there's no, you know, there's no way to come back. I think there's a way to come back, and it's practical and reasonable when you look at the road that you've traveled is not generating the fruit and the response that you expected it to deliver. And so you're falling short. You're not really winning the battle. I mean, you're winning the war. I mean, you might be winning a battle or two. But are you better off today as a result of this philosophy, or are you worse off? And I think that empiricists, you know, that they're seeing this in a practical way are saying, you know, this just isn't working.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. And this particular election cycle has put that issue of civility on the minds of a lot of people. I think there are a lot of people who look around and say, when did we become such an uncivil society? Mm-hmm. And there's an element of real irrationalism about this, Bill, because there are people who may not be religious, but maybe their father is, or their brother, or their cousin, or their neighbor, or their teacher, and they know that those religious people are not bigots and haters and people who need to be wiped out of the public square. Somewhere inside, there are millions of people who know that, and I'm trying to appeal to them to recognize the famous phrase, the better angels of their nature.
Yes, exactly. Well, Mary, in your book, and we kind of touched on this just a moment ago, but I want to, you know, we have a little bit more time here, and I want to drill deeper into it, and that was Inquisitors versus Good Works.
Yes, in the book, I developed the metaphor of the witch hunt, because I do believe that we're witnessing something new in history, and that is a secularist witch hunt. Now, obviously, people are not being, well, I was going to say thrown into jail, but that's not always true.
Yeah, or burned at the stake, but
Christians
yeah.
Christians are not
yeah,
being yeah. burned at the stake, and let me also establish there's no equivalence between the horrible persecution of Christians in the Middle East and the kind of discrimination and stigmatization of Christians in the Western world. Obviously, those are two different things, but they are related, because the crippling of Christians in the Western world, the way that traditionalists are being forced onto defense, having to fight lawsuits, you know, even against their institutions that do great works, makes it harder for them to help their fellow Christians in the Middle East, because resources are finite. There's only so much money. There's only so much energy. And so this is also part of what's driving the book, is the awareness that when you sideline people who could help, when you refuse to call what's happening to Christians in the Middle East genocide, as this administration also refused to do until very, very recently, you're interrupting the supply lines to people who are desperate and need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible talks about it in terms, Mary, of, you know, binding up the strong men. If the strong men, for example, here in the United States, the church, people of faith, are bound up, then evil can have its way. And look how it's demonstrating itself, not only in this country, but to your point, in the Middle East, dramatically.
Yes, and that's why I think, again, it comes to reasonable people to call off this witch hunt. I mean, the parallels with what happened in Salem, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. hundreds of years ago really are arresting. You've got a bunch of inquisitors running around, and what it took to change the terms in Salem was for people on their side, that is ministers, who said, you know what, maybe we should stop this. Maybe we're using evidence that isn't real empirical evidence to convict people of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, a minister named Increase Mather was the leader of ministers who eventually called off the hunt. The point is that it takes people on the side where there are runaway activists to call those activists in. It takes courage for people of the left to dissociate themselves from the worst of secularist progressivism today. But I think that's what has to happen, and I think there are people with the moral will to make it happen. Anyway, that's the hope.
Well, exactly, and the hope and prayer, Mary, and in your book, you know, the big question that comes screaming through it is that we look at the America we have today, and even though 7 out of 10 will admit, according to all the research, that this country is off track, well, you know, with the religious persecution, with the fruit that we're realizing culturally of where this country is this the America we want to turn over to our kids?
Well, again, the hope lies in the fact that a lot of people are feeling the same thing. And we also need to be aware of how much the internet, social media, et cetera, inflames all of this.
Yes.
I do think we've got enough people who are worried enough about the state of the country to have a real conversation across the usual political lines.
Well, it is needful. There's no doubt about it. Mary Eberstadt, an essayist, author of several influential works of nonfiction, including How the West Really Lost God, A New Theory of Secularization, Adam and Eve After the Pill, Paradoxes of the Sexual Revolution, and Home Alone America. Her latest book, It's Dangerous to Believe Religious Freedom and Its Enemies, available at all the usual places, I take it, Mary, right?
Yes, that's right. And on Amazon.com and other fine places where books are carried.
And your website, real quick?
Amazon.com or HarperCollins.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.